Welcome everybody back to West Coast XC episode 5. Happy New Year and Happy New Year to Todd.
Hey, Happy New Year, Ken.
And since we're starting 2025, we thought it'd be great to go over some of the events or meets that we're going to go to this spring in track and preview them and why we're excited about them. Before we do that, I want to make sure that you subscribe to this. Please help us or subscribe to YouTube or follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. That'd be wonderful. I appreciate it. And we did a flip of a coin, Todd, and you're going to go first. We're going to go over 5 meets that we're interested in and excited about this spring. What's your number 5 one?
All right. I actually cheated. I put 2 in my number 5 slot. One is the college opener. My list is real heavy on Northern California teams. The UC Davis opener on March 6th and 7th, and my local league championships, the MVL championships on May 9th and 10th. They're like the ones that I love to go to. I'm usually the only photographer who's there doing these kind of things. So I love to do it. It's time for me to catch up with a lot of the kids that I know and a lot of the teams that I know. So it's kind of like comfort food.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I know I used to coach in the Metro League here in Portland, and I'll be there taking pictures, and it's, you know, all the coaches I used to coach with and the kids that I see at school and such like that. So it's really fun for me to go to those meets too. My first one is also a meet that has 3 meets. So maybe that's cheating too. It's the Dempsey Indoors. There's 3 of them. That's at the University of Washington. And they host an indoor meet middle January. The next one's 2 weeks later, and the last one's the end of February. They have a 300-meter track on campus. It's their football practice facility. And it's not like a traditional indoor track that has banked curves and such. It's a 300-meter track, approximately. And I enjoy going to those meets because there are a lot of distance races or a lot of heats. And because there are a lot of heats, you can see in like maybe 10 heats of the 800 or 10 heats of the mile. They run the mile because if they break 4 minutes, it's a big deal, obviously. If you're like in the 8th heat, you might see a high school kid. You might see a junior college kid. And all the way to NAIA and D3, D2, D1. Last year, a gal from Adams State set some, I think, D2 record. She was super excited. I saw a young man from a junior college set the 5,000-meter indoor record. And so you're watching these races, and, you know, everybody's excited. The big thing that people like to do, oh, pros will be there too. I mean, you just go, excuse me, you go from, you know, you're in, you know, heat 4, you've got, you know, D1, maybe D2 kids, and then you get to heat one, the best heat, fastest heat. You'll have, you know, Nikki Hiltz will be in it, or somebody big time will be in it, which is really fun. And so it's all levels, and they run a lot of miles there. And the goal is to break 4 minutes if you're a male. Unfortunately, there isn't really a similar thing for women. Excuse me. And so, for heat 3, it might be somebody that's never broken it before. It's some college kid that's never done it. And people go crazy and get excited, and coaches and athletes. But on the women's side too, it's, you know, they're qualifying for their indoor meets for Division 2 or 3 or 1. And, you know, I'm always there at the finish, and there's just, you know, these indoor meets are not hard to take pictures. I mean, they're hard to take pictures because they're indoors, but it's easy to get to one side of the track to the other. It's not very big. And so I work my way always to the finish, and it's always big excitement at the Dempsey at the University of Washington. That's my 5th one. What's your next one?
Because I've never shot an indoor track meet, and I'm trying to get to one up in Reno here, but just, I think the schedule's not going to work out this year. All right. For my number 4, there's a weekend, May 17th. There's the Big West Conference Championships, which I went to last year. But this year, for some reason, the track schedule seems super compressed, and I don't know why. And there's a conflict with our sectional. So in California, as we noted in one of the previous episodes, we don't have any divisions in track. Everyone just competes against everyone. And so everything is built up with sectional qualifying. And so our subsection is on that same weekend as the Big West Championship. So I don't really know which one I'm going to go to this year, but that weekend of May 17th.
If your son runs in the Big West, that doesn't the deciding factor?
Chance, I didn't say that. Oh, yeah, I'm not sure. And because it's in Long Beach this
Oh,
year,
it's farther away. Yeah.
yeah, so it's a bit of ways, especially if I go to, well, later down the list, something else in LA. We'll see. A lot of it comes down to travel.
Yep. Absolutely. My fourth on the list, by the way, my list is not really ranked that way. It's just they came in my head. So I'm not saying I'm looking forward to Dempsey fifth and then fourth is this one. It's just the way, I don't know. But what the next one for me is the Big Ten Championships at Hayward Field and later in the same weekend, May 17th. And I grew up in Los Angeles. I moved to Oregon as an adult. I'm a West Coast guy and I'm used to the Pac-12. And the reason why I'm interested or looking forward to this meet, I've never taken pictures at the Big Ten Championships. I've never been to a Big Ten Championships. Todd, yesterday was the Rose Bowl, and it was Oregon versus Ohio State. That seems normal to me. Pac-12 versus the Big Ten, but it wasn't the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. It was just a repeat of a Big Ten conference game earlier in the season. It's just a bizarre thing. So I'm just sort of curious. I'm just the first year of the Big Ten, and they have it in Eugene, and I'm looking forward to taking pictures at it, seeing new athletes, and that's basically all I have for that. I don't have any experience before in saying, "Oh, last year it was great." I've never been to it, but that's why I'm interested. Never been to it.
Jealous that you get to go to Eugene and the University of Oregon track because, I think after the Big Ten championships, I was talking to my daughter and it's like from NCAAs will be there in early June and then it goes U20s, the pre-classic, and then out US outdoor championships for USATF. So I'm gonna try to make it up sometime there between
That'd be
June and
wonderful.
July.
Yeah, it's a great atmosphere. Eugene's Trek Town USA, it's great.
That's awesome. Okay, so my number three is the weekend of April 4th and 5th is the Stanford Invitational traditionally here in obviously in Palo Alto. It draws a lot of the high-end college athletes. There's a qualifying standard for it. There's also a qualifying standard for there's a high school portion of the meet. So we get to see a lot of the high-end Bay Area kids in particular. It does compete with the West Coast Relays at Buchanan, which is the same day. So you don't get everyone kind of in this northern section who's there. A lot of them choose to go to Buchanan as well because that's where our state meet will be. And then there's a second meet the same day where a lot of the schools send the kids who didn't qualify for Stanford. Which is held in San Francisco State, which is the Mike Finelli Classic. I've done that one the last 2 years, and that's actually really fun because kind of what you were talking about with the indoor meets, you get everything from pretty high D1 runners all the way down to junior college and AIA runners, and it's just really cool to see everybody compete against each other. It's a lot of fun, and it's a little more casual. I think sometimes the Stanford Invitational can feel a little intense. But it's a nice fun meet where everyone's there just to kind of get a good, middle season time, see where they are for their conferences.
So it's back at San Francisco State.
Yeah, it was at Chabot College last year, which was really great because that's like 10 minutes from my house.
Right.
But this year I think it's going back to San Francisco State.
So my daughters ran track in California in colleges in California, and they weren't fast enough to run at Stanford. So they'd run the Mike Finelli. Is it Finelli? Finelli.
Finale.
And it started at San Francisco State, then there's something going on with the track, and then we moved to Chabot, and then I haven't been there in a while because my girls graduated. But I agree with you. It's a fun meet. You do see like Kansas kids show up and Iowa kids show up. When you send your times, you have to make airline choices if you're from the Midwest or something, and if they don't make the cut, at least you could take them still to San Francisco and get into a really pretty good meet there at San
Yeah,
Francisco State.
it's a lot of fun. And I think actually Chabot will have a new track this time next year. So I think what's happening is SF State and Chabot started ping-ponging back and forth
Okay.
every other year.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
It's a really
Fun
fun.
meet.
Yeah. The next one on my list is the Oregon Relays, and that's held at Hayward Field too. And that's in April. And the reason why I picked it is Runner Space puts it on, and Runner Space works really hard to make it a fun event for the high school kids.
Yes.
They've had in the past college athletes run in it. Lately, it's been professional athletes. So last year, Brooksby set the world record in the DMR. And so I got to take pictures of that. That was really fun.
Cool.
And then they have, like, interspersed with the high school races, they'll have professional races. And sometimes high school kids will jump in those races. Which is tricky because you're not really allowed to do that, but they ran up running an unattached. If they, like last year, Josiah Tostenson from Crater was running super fast and thought, well, maybe he'll break the 4-minute mile barrier. So he ran it as unattached. And 2 years ago, Aaron Solomon did it for Newbury Park. He ran unattached. And so, it's got some pros, but mostly it's high school kids, a sprinkling of California kids, Washington kids come down. Oregon kids, obviously, and kids from the Midwest too. Kids from Illinois come in, and it's really fun. But what makes it really fun, Todd, for the kids, is they the Hayward Field is fancy schmancy. It's fancy. They have the, like, if you ever go to a football game or watch on TV when the football team scores a touchdown, even the Dodgers, when the Dodgers hit a home run, they have the light system now where it'll blink and do all this fun stuff and go with the music. They do that at Hayward Field, so the lights blink on and off. They have a wavelength. I wrote it down. It's not called wavelength. It's called a wave lighting, where the kids,
Sir, the
the
virtual
pros,
pacer.
and the kids know what if they can get a record or not. Owen Powell of Mercer Island was trying to get the high school record in the 1,000, so he had this light system that he could, like, follow. And so, yeah, it's at night. Oh, it's an all day meet, but when it gets to the night portion where all the big races are, they do these great things with the lights. But Todd, as a photographer, it's a nightmare. But
Sure.
because you're the kid will come across the line when it's dark, and you
Yeah.
can't really set your camera for strobe lights.
Yeah.
But if you're an athlete, wow, the lighting system is so cool. So that's my number three.
To April 16th through 18th is the Brian Clay meet in Azusa, and that's it also has a bunch of qualifying times, so it has a history of being a really fast meet. And a lot of times you get to see people who are trying to really climb into the NCAA qualifying times. So you get to see a lot of really fast, particularly mid-major schools. Mid-majors Division II runners are there, and they're really cooking. So it's a great atmosphere. It's a nice town, that kind of Pomona, northern LA area. And I think one thing that I'm interested in from the college side is to see how things like the transfer portal really start to affect at the team level where the kids are coming from. Because I think kids are moving all around now to run. And I think this is the last year of COVID also, of COVID eligibility. So you have a lot of people who've moved around quite a bit.
And it's a fast meet. There's just some real, I mean, for the college level, it's like their last, not their last chance, but it's like a really good opportunity for them to get their standard to go to regionals, NCAA regionals. And I've never been to it, and I've always wanted to, so I'm jealous. And I just see the results there of just like how fast the kids run. And I could be wrong about this, but in the glory days, Mount SAC was the thing you would go to, and then Brian Clay became like a kind of like the Mike Finnelli meet. But now it's reversed. The Brian Clay meet is the meet. And I'm not, and maybe the sprinters just go to Mount SAC or something. I'm not sure what's happened there, but it's but Brian Clay used to be like, well, if you don't make it, you can go to Brian Clay. But now I could be wrong. Somebody can comment and like that's not true, but it's the same weekend. It's just down the street from Mount SAC. And Brian Clay is the place to go.
Because we follow a lot of distance people, and I know the distance people really value going to Brian Clay over others.
Right. Well, excellent. So my number two pick is going to the Brooks PR, and that's in Seattle.
That's cool.
And it is the Wednesday in the middle of in June, a Wednesday, kind of odd day for like a national championship meet. But the reason they've done that is because that following weekend there are two national championships, quote unquote. I mean, New Balance has a meet at where Penn Relays is on Franklin Field in Philadelphia, and Nike has one for high school kids at Hayward Field. And so the kids get split up. You don't get to see all the best kids in the U.S. They go to one place or the other. And some kids actually choose to like run Brooks PR and just call it a season too. And so you get a chance to see everybody. The NXN champions this year are from New Mexico and Utah, and they can't run Foot Locker. And so I'm not sure if that's going to be the case this year, but it's sometimes the chance for an NXN and Foot Locker athlete to race each other in the 1600 or in the 3200, which is really cool to watch. And then Todd, I'm going to say something that's going to make me sound like I'm grumpy, but track meets, big track meets, tend to be like 2 day affairs, and they're really long. The Brooks PR meet is like 2 hours long, 2.5 hours long. And so I appreciate that. It's a very quick meet. There's just going to be 1 mile, 1 800. There's not going to be like heats of it. They're just going to invite these really elite athletes. And they do have a section where the local Washington, Seattle area kids run a mile, which is cool. And they have middle school kids run too. And anyway, it's just a fun meet. And you get to see it all the best of the best, really, I think. Up in Seattle. And I live in Portland, so it's not hard for me to get to Seattle, like for the Dempsey or this meet. And it's not very hard for me to get to Eugene. They're really pretty close drives. So I'm able, lucky to be situated here in Portland for those kind of meets. What do you have as your number one?
My biggest distance meet in Northern California is the Dublin Distance Fiesta. It's March 21st and 22nd. It's early season, a 2 day event. Really, they kind of specialize in the mile. Last year, they set a world record. They had the most girls under six for the 1600, which at 333, and the most boys under five at 567. It's
Wow.
like there were 60 boys heats for the mile split across 2 days. It was nuts.
Wow.
29 girls heats, and then they do the 800. They also do the 800 four by eight, which is my favorite high school track event, by the way. They do 32s, and a DMR on the last day. And
And then when
the
they
last
win,
day, pardon?
they wear a sombrero when they win. Is that right?
When the winner usually, and it's usually the winner of the very last heat,
Okay.
they have a sombrero. Yeah, their trademark thing is they quote unquote award the sombrero to the fastest time throughout the day. So starting on Friday, you get somebody who's running up like a 6 minute, 6 minute mile, gets the sombrero for a race. It's nice.
How
It's a
fun.
nice thing to be passing along. And then because it's early season, you'll see a handful of girls trying to dip below five in the mile. Some boys are kind of touching 410 low, and they're not really running world breaking times, but it's a nice early season flavor. And last year, I just looked at last year's numbers. You see the names. You see like Landon Petrie and Eli. Oh gosh,
Bitchin'
Eli's last
Young.
name. Fitch and Young, I see all of them up there. I don't think they're super pushing it, but everyone's just using this as kind of a test to see where they are in the early season.
I think the
And one of the trends
Arcadia,
I've seen, sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry about that. I think the Arcadia deadline is like looming too. And so if they can get a good
Yes.
time.
Right. And that's what a lot of them try to do is they try and hit that Arcadia qualifier. A lot of the Nevada teams now are coming down off of the mountain to get into a fast early season race, also like Galena and Bishop Minogue and some of those teams that have started to show up in Clovis during fall. They're showing up at DDF now to try and get their athletes' times, obviously to try to get into Arcadia as well.
Well, that segues into my number one thing, which is, it could be, again, I'm not necessarily my number one thing, but I wrote it down, Arcadia Invitational. I go down there for that, for the 2 day meet. And it's a meet for everybody. It's got field events. It's got, last year I had the decathlon and heptathlon and has sprinting events. But it seems to me, and I could be wrong again, I shouldn't just say these things off the top of my head, but it seems to me when I've been there for 2 days, it has a distance running tilt to it. Because after, like on Friday night, the only thing going on is the heats of the 3200 in the 4x mile. And so there's just lots of distance events. And then the next day is a little bit more spread out. Everything's kind of going on the next day on Saturday. And the highlight of the meet, I think, is what sort of built its reputation is the 3200, like the fastest ones in the evening. Again, it's kind of unfair for girls. There isn't really a magic number. And so they kind of, it's a bummer. Maybe it should be 10:30 is like equivalent to 9, maybe. There are girls that'll break 10, which is incredible, but not very many girls can do that, you know, one or two or maybe three at the most, but they make a big deal about that. And in the boys, the biggest deal is to break 9. And there's some boys that'll break 9 on Friday night because they have like earlier heats. The last race, not the last race of the meet, but the last 3200, there were 38 boys that towed the line and 37 boys broke 9 minutes. It was unbelievable. I take a picture of the finish line because it's like something out of like Gone with the Wind, you know, where there's just carnage on the ground. There's all these boys lying on the ground, and it's a good photo. And, you know, I have a little history here. When I was in high school, I ran against a guy named Eric Reynolds at Camarillo High School, and he was the Kenny champion, aka Foot Locker champion. He was in my league, and he ran 8:44 in the 3200, which is back then incredible. But now, if you're on 8:44 at Arcadia, you might finish 11th. It's just amazing how fast. I could be wrong about that too, but I think last year, Daniel Simmons ran like 8:35 or 8:36. So there had to have been a lot of kids that ran under 8:45 too. But it's you know, overall, just all the races too. The like last year, Jane Hedegren and Sadie Englehart had this epic mile race. And it's, you know, 800 meter races are great. The relays, there were 4x8 relays that were really close. The DMR was at a close finish. Just an amazing race. You have kids from all over. I mean, all over the United States. On a West Coast perspective, you have Washington and Oregon kids coming down, which is super fun. And it's a long experience, 2 days, but it's fun. You got lots of photos, and it's a great experience. And so I'm looking forward to going back in April.
Basically, by reputation, it's an amazing event. So,
It is an amazing
looking
event.
forward.
It's from a meet director standpoint, it's really fun to watch them put that on too. It's coordination beyond belief, you know, watching all these workers there get this thing going, and wow,
Yeah, and I know for a lot of high school kids, you know, even qualifying for Arcadia just to even get the backpack is such, you know, it is such a status symbol and such an accomplishment.
well, not my last year coaching. The last year before COVID, our girls qualified for the 4x mile, and you know, I and the boys didn't. They just weren't quite fast enough. I thought we'll make it next year because, you know, I had juniors, and we didn't get to go because they got canceled. But yeah, it's those they have qualifying times, and it's tough. It's tough to get in there, and so that's why the I was wondering if the Fiesta races at Dublin is before the cutoff date. I think it might be, and so that's really.
Well ahead of it, because I know there's usually a couple other meets that people try to squeeze in one last time right before the middle of April. I think it's mid-April
Well, I
is
can't be because the Arcadia is at the beginning of April, and
it?
yeah, and the reason why I kind of feel like I'm a little bit of an expert on this is Oregon doesn't really start their season in April, so we can't ever use our times. We don't have times, so you have to run like an incredible time the year before is the problem. So it's right after Oregon spring break. It's like this year it's April 10th and 11th, but some years it's the 5th or 6th, so that's got to be like March 20-ish summer. So.
Think there's one other race. There's usually one race after everyone's scrambling if they didn't make it at Dublin.
Maybe
They're
they're doing
scrambling to
Stanford.
find one more fast race.
Yeah. And unfortunately for Washington, Oregon, that's where our spring break is. So there's no like, so you have to be like, you have to like nail a time
Yeah.
at the end
That's
of the.
tough. And so early in the season, especially I think one of the big shames for high school is a lot of the multi-sport athletes who might be able to get there with enough training are coming off another sport in the wintertime.
Right. Yeah. They just finished basketball season or wrestling season.
Yeah, they finished basketball or soccer and they're just getting in, they're in the
Right.
first training block And they might be great come championship season, but they don't have a time to make Arcadia.
Right. It's tricky stuff, but it's an amazing meet, and yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that again, and looking forward to the weather. April's still kind of nasty up here, so it's nice to take a break.
Last year, I swear, half of the meets I went to had rain, like heavy rain.
Well,
And
I was at Stanford last year and I froze, and I'm from Oregon. It's embarrassing that I wasn't
it was
dressed
bad.
appropriately.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that weekend was terrible.
I was not dressed appropriately, so yeah, so
Let's hope for better weather this year.
yeah, let's hope for that. Well, Todd, thanks for taking the time out and joining us today. And
Always a pleasure.
yeah, and check out Todd's Instagram account. He's got some great photos of winter sports up there in the Bay Area. And you'll check out his photos as the outdoor track season starts unfolding in March.
Yep.
And I like your hat. Go West Coast. I will
My
be.
daughter says we should start we should get feedback on possible merch options.
Both my daughters got some West Coast XC stuff that I made for them, and they were actually sort of thrilled. They kind of like, I mean, like don't quite. They're not quite into it as much as I am, but they were like kind of, they were kind of pleasantly surprised that they got some merch during Christmas time. That was funny. And then I'll be in Spokane next weekend on Saturday to take, there's a indoor meet. They have a beautiful track, a hydraulic track that has banked turns, fancy track there in Spokane, indoor meet. So I'll be there taking pictures. So look for a gallery soon afterwards. And until next time, Todd, have a great opening of your new year. Happy New Year 2025.
Yeah, have a 2025, Ken. Looking forward to it.